Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I'm your aforementioned Spooky Chris, and I welcome you. This go-round, I am rolling solo, and I want to talk about conventions. I've talked about it in the past and gotten into kind of my history and everything, but I just wanted to kind of briefly touch on kind of what's going on with conventions. So when I went to my first convention, it was 1990, Weekend of Horrors, and it was in Dearborn, Michigan, and it was at a hotel. It was vendors, it was guests, celebrity guests, panels, some movie showings, and it was a great time. Now, I can't tell you what it cost back then, and I'm not going to say that cost should be in 2026 what they were in 1990 and 1991. What I can tell you is that what I found is just a world I'd never imagined. As a kid that loved horror movies when I was young and who had started to read Fangoria magazine and just was enthralled with the world of horror, to go to this place where all of these celebrities who were in front of and behind the scenes of the some of the films I loved. I met Doug Bradley. I met Gunnar Hansen. One of them, it was right before they, the second convention, it was right before they were going to make Evil Dead. Well, at the time it was Evil Dead 3. And Bruce Campbell was there, and he flipped himself on stage. And it was amazing. And just so many, like Linnea Quigley was at one of them. Just amazing, these amazing like icons. And you could go and meet them and get something signed, talk to them briefly. You could shop for, things back then, and I didn't get anything then, but like back then would have been, probably lots of bootleg VHS of Asian and Italian films that you couldn't get here. But you could get t-shirts, artwork, movies, what they had for collectibles back then, just all of these things. And it was so incredible for a kid that, from the Midwest that was pretty sheltered and just never imagined something like this, places like that, that existed. And that's what, one of the things that inspired me to do a convention in Flint with some friends. And we did our tiny little localized version of that, the same. And after that, I got in and, I kind of got back in the scene a little bit with the Motor City Comic Con, a friend and I. And again, all of these are stories I've told here and there, either my blog or on a podcast. A friend and I had just a zine we did go national for one issue. And in the midst of that, we got to be guests at Motor City Comic Con twice, which is just weird and amazing. But I started going to Motor City Comic Con, and then I started going as a vendor, selling my book, and then my chat books, and then my all my other books and everything. And so I've seen how conventions have evolved, and you look at it now, and there's the big gorillas in the room. And there's the regional ones, and then there's a few national ones that kind of have, they do several spots. And then there's the kind of, I don't even know if medium, but it's basically, it's there's tiny ones, and then there's the big gorillas, and then there's a few kind of medium ones that don't seem to last, other than Sin Wasteland. That's about the only medium one kind of around anymore. And otherwise it's just, I get it, because having, again, been behind the scenes, they're so expensive. You have to, and people don't think about this. You have to rent the venue. You have to get the guests. You have to get any kind of anything you need. So when you get the venue, if you're going to show movies, you have to pay for all the rental of the screen and the video stuff and this, like the use of the sound. If you're going to have a green room, you have to have that taken care of. Transportation for guests, because unless you're going to go completely localized, or if you're live in an area where there are a lot of guests, kind of regional to you, you have to pay for either their travel personally, like in a car, or them to fly to you. You have to pay for hotel rooms, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but all of that, like at our last big convention we did, I think we ended up we spent about around $13,000 here or there. And I think we made, we brought back in about half of that. So half of it was just pure loss. And some of that, a grand or two was just like, we had two guests that had delays and I had to move flights and just really couldn't do anything with that. Like maybe they used those flights later on, but I couldn't have. So it just kind of went with them. That was just kind of a lost money. So there's an initial big initial investment, and a lot of shows try to recoup that through the vendors. So you have, okay, we can fit this many vendors in here. We're going to charge X amount. So we can try to recoup as much as possible from the vendors of the initial. Now, you can't do that in some shows. I mean, even if they're charging a lot, because if you're laying out a lot of money for guests, so you go for sponsors. And in our area, we're an area of a ton of nonprofits and huge shows, like one of the nation's biggest classic car shows, and then a huge motorcycle show, and then a huge road race. So those are three huge things that you're competing with immediately. You're going to get better return on investment because those are huge events, and your name's going to be all over the place. And you're also dealing with horror, in my case, or at least pop culture. And so you kind of got it. You're stuck with sponsors that appreciate that, see value in that, and want to connect with that audience, which again is very limited. So vendor or sponsors were real hard for us. We got some low level sponsors, which is amazing, but it was never anything major. The big sponsor we got, he always wanted to kind of do, it was a trade off of, he gave me tickets to the haunt that they did, and that was cool to get with giveaways, and we used them for prizes and stuff, but it really didn't pay the bills. And then the next, so you try to make your money back on the vendors if you can, and unless you're a big, big show, which I remember a guest had contacted us like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know if you wanted to book with us. What's his, it's the guy who played Sabretooth in the first X-Men movie, maybe. I think, I don't know. He's Tyler Mane. He contacted us and I was like, oh, cool, great, blah, blah, blah. What's your cost? And this is, again, 14 years ago. And it wasn't even a ton. It might have been $5,000 or something. I was like, oh, yeah, we ain't got that. Like, how about, and I might even throw out a number. And he basically laughed at me. And that was the end of that. And I get it. Like, people have their price and it is what it is. But we also had what our availability was that we could pay you. And that wasn't a lot. So we were a very small, we dealt with friends of friends and people we could kind of get who were just, they were kind of in it for the love still. And that, which is, there's nothing wrong with making money. It's just that's, we couldn't afford the folks that were kind of bigger names. So I have that history and I know how this works. I'm not dumb. We had gone, we had inquired about Bruce Campbell and he was $10,000 for a weekend. And same thing with Cassandra Peterson / Elvira and Robert Englund, and all these people were 10 plus for a weekend. And this again, almost 15 years ago. So this is a long time ago. And I guarantee everybody's prices went up, up, up. And part of it is, as fandoms changed, horror and pop culture and stuff became less of a niche thing and more mainstream people got into it because of the superhero movies, because of big franchises, just a lot of different factors. Walking Dead really changed things because that brought so many people in, and there were so, like, to come to these conventions to get autographs, and there were so many people. There's the big main cast, which is big when you think of how many folks were kind of features, and then there's anybody who was a zombie could book as a guest, and we were supposed to have one of them, and they something happened, they fell out, but so anybody that had been a zombie couldn't go do shows, having been a zombie on Walking Dead. And so there's all this money there and all this interest. Well, that changes the cost because Walking Dead was such an in-demand show for so long. All of those prices to get those folks, because people knew that they wanted them. They were a wanted commodity. So those prices went up. and the prices for that, you know, the photos and the autographs went up. Prices of going to these shows went up to try to balance, you know, the scales. And it's not like it was just Walking Dead. It was a lot of things. It was the superhero movies. Again, it's all of these things where all of a sudden it wasn't just a niche bunch of folks that like, and geeks that liked comic book movies and comic books and weirdos that liked horror. It went to the mainstream, and especially, you know, you started to add in a more serious, it wasn't just costume contests, it was cosplay, like where people were investing lots of money into these elaborate costumes. And I'm sure they always have, but it became a thing where those folks could be features. They could be an attraction. And again, they started being able to charge money to come out and judge contests and to appear because they would bring different costumes for every day. And they were kind of another guest. And so all of the things around a convention got bigger and bigger and bigger. And these big shows just have gotten so bloated. Where you'll see like 20-some guests. And one of it's just to get as many guests as possible. And you can... if you work with certain agents, they'll represent many different actors or people in the industry. So you can talk to Bill Smith, and Bill Smith's like, "Hey man, like, who are you looking at?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, hey man, I like this person in this movie. Oh, cool, yeah, cool. We can let's talk about it. Cool, that date's open. Great, great, great. Let's book it. Awesome." And then they're like, "This is what they need to do the show. Great. Everything's great." And then they're like, "Well, you know, I've got some other folks that have that availability. Are you interested in A, B, C, D, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And then you're like, "Yeah, no, no, yeah, yeah, no." What? Like, you go through and you're like, "Oh, okay, cool." And they can sometimes give you a deal because you're working with more of their clients. And it's easier because you're just going through this one person. It's, you know, it's kind of one-stop shopping. And so there's that aspect of it. And it's interesting because you don't quite know where to start in a way when you first get in. I've given my advice on all that, on where to, if you were interested to do these shows, there's kind of a process you should go through. But there's so many things that are, you know, so many costs that start being built in there. But these shows got bigger and bigger. And as you deal with more guests, you're going to get more cancellations. You know, if you have a big name actor, like, yeah, you might get lucky and they are free and they stay free and they do the show and it's a huge hit and it's great. A lot of times they're going to get a gig because they're an in-demand actor, and that's just the way it works. I mean, you know, you take your swing, and if it doesn't work, they try to rebook, and sometimes, you know, sometimes that happens and sometimes it just doesn't, you know. And fans don't understand, you know, they get frustrated because they were super excited about that guest, and it is what it is. If I'm being offered a movie where I can make, I don't know, $50,000 to $500,000 or more, like, depending on how big the actor is. Like, you know, if I'm being offered for real, real money, I'm taking that gig. Like, there's not a question. And you can't feel bad and upset about it because that's just how it works. Like, it's just, it's business. The problem we had are the smaller people, like the lower level folks that would just kind of like, you know, get personally busy or lose interest, or just they don't take it as professionally as others, and they just kind of like meh, and they just kind of disappear on you. It happens, whatever. But so these shows have grown, and they're like the big ones, and they have so many guests, and it's great as a fan. I'm excited because, oh my gosh, I love that guy, that woman, her, him, them, this, that, that. Like, you look at the list, you're like, oh my gosh, these are amazing people. And it's fun to even see these folks and to see, like, oh my God, I'm in the same room as this amazing director. It's neat. It's just the novelty. And the cool thing about horror shows used to be is that you could at least even go up and say, "Hey, I just wanted to say I appreciate your work, blah, blah, blah. Oh, cool, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. Blah, blah, blah." You know, and it's become so monetized, and there are so many people with their hands out that, you know, a selfie costs money, a photo, like a signed, costs money, signing up a collectible costs money, a specialized photo. Me and my wife got a photo with Robert Englund. It was supposed to be his only time he was ever going to be in the Freddy makeup again, and it was newly designed and blah blah blah, and we took got a photo like that, and it was amazing. Great experience. Met him for all of 30 seconds. We did the same thing. Oh my gosh. With another actor, and I'm just blanking on his name. Shame on me. But it was great, but all of these things that they promise, it's the only time I'm ever going to do this. It's better take advantage of it. And it isn't. And that's life. But those were expensive photos. And even now, I'm glad we got them, because just getting a superstar's autograph can be several $100s, just an autograph. And it's maddening. And it makes you wonder who these conventions are for anymore. Because when you look at the economy and what people make, and yeah, it's it's just money for my hobby. Yeah, it's hobby money. And we find money for our hobby. But it gets harder and harder when that hobby starts costing several $1,000s to go to a show, and you want to meet guests and you want to get things signed. And it's not even that this is a business venture, that you're flipping things. And it's funny, I heard on another podcast that where they're talking about this, like, I don't want to hear about how it's everything's gone up because of that. Except that's true. The market may be saturated, but that was what I think one of the initial pushes is that it became less of a like, oh, hey, you know, it's great to meet you. And like, thank you. I'm glad you like my work. Blah, blah. What's your name? Oh, cool. Great, great, great. Let me sign this to you, to Chris. Awesome. Here's a little saying. Awesome. Great, great, great. We did that. We got a few autographs, me and my wife, at a convention. Like, we had them sign it to her dog / he kind of became my dog, Toxie. And it was super fun. And they were like, the celebrities were like, what the? And we'd explain, like, oh, that's great. And they really liked that. They thought it was funny. Like, and that's the thing with celebrities, is most of them are real laid back and cool if they get a chance to be. If you're not, like, up their ass being super fan nerd crazy. Like, they're just people. And they're there and they're working. But they want to laugh. They want to hang out a little. Like, they're trying to have some fun. But I think as soon as people started like, oh, cool, what's your name? Let me sign. No, just put your name. And people may have had their reasons. It's like, I don't want my name. I don't want my name and all this crap taking up the photo and this stuff. I just want you to sign it because you are you. But then a lot of it was people flipping it. And yeah, no, it's not affecting it now per se, because we're years since that started. But I guarantee that was a brick in the wall. Is when fandom became kind of monetized and people were kind of weaponizing it to like, oh man, I'm going to get this and I'm going to flip it. Like, oh, I got this great autograph, flip it. I got this thing signed, this got this collectible, got this whatever. And they were getting things signed for people. And it changed things because it made it less about interacting with fans. And yeah, and it's always been about money. It'll always be about money. It's not like, you know, it's not like these are folks that were just like doing charity work per se. Like, they're there to make money, and that's fine. But it became such an expensive endeavor where you're spending almost $100 on each person. And if you want to see more, like get a couple autographs, you're talking a ton of money, and it's $50 to get in these things. And then you got to pay for parking. And then if there's any kind of collectible you want, so you're looking at several $100s. And that's not with any food, that's not including travel, that's not including if it's a big show and you want to stay there for the weekend, a hotel. Like, it's incredible. And I get, again, some people, this is their vacation. When I did that, you know, vended them, and I've stopped the big ones because I'm never going to make almost $500 back to get a table. I just am not going to. And so I try to rationale, like, well, this is my, like, a vacation for me. I get to be around people I know in this cool environment, and I'm maybe selling some books and meeting folks. It's cool. And it was great, and I loved it. But the fact is that I can't recoup that, and there's a point where you're just like, man, this is just throwing money down a well. And the enjoyment I may get out of it is eclipsed by how bad I feel for having spent this money to be here and not sell books. So it makes it a difficult proposition. But we've let these things balloon so much. And they don't... And there should always be, big shows. As kind of just like the once in a while, like every year, and you can go to this big show and a ton of people, like our Motor City Comic Con. Big, big show. And it's a different animal. It's like a wolf to a husky. Like, they're both of the same breed. They're both kind of from the same lineage, but they're different. One's much bigger than the other. One's much gnarlier than the other. Big shows should exist because there's fans that save their money and want to go to this. And they have, those shows have access to celebrities you can't get otherwise and to these special things. And there's so many vendors you can go to. But there should also, there should be more medium to slash small shows that aren't big names. And fans need to get over themselves where it's like, oh, well, I don't want to meet, you know, a person from a B movie from 20 years ago. Like, but those are the people that made the genre and that background actor and that character actor. And we need to get past this. And I, we dealt with it. It's like whenever like, oh, hey, we're going to announce a guest, get Robert Englund, get Bruce Campbell, blah, blah, blah. Do you have tens of thousands of dollars to bring them here? Because we don't. So, you know, and it's like, and are you going to pay the money what it's going to cost you? Because we, my personal ethos is to always keep the money, like the cost as low as possible for people to come. And that means vendors and attendees. And it screwed me at every turn. But like, if the vendors don't make money and if the vendors aren't happy, there's no future shows. They will spread the word, especially nowadays. They'll spread the word loud and clear that not to do your shows. And that, like, pfft, you're not going to do shows after that. Like, you're done. And if there's no, you know, if the guests are overcharged, you know, like the fans, well, they can't spend money at the vendors. They can't spend money with the celebrities. No, you know, like, and they may not come back because they might be go, man, that wasn't worth my money. That was stupid. So you have to, it's a balance. But you have to have shows that have, you know, celebrities are just fun. It's fun to interact with these folks. But we need to get past this whole obsession with, like, giant actors and these huge, it's like, as fans, we want that all the time. And then most of us don't even go to those flipping shows. We call out names, like it's like celebrity bingo. Get this person, get that person, and then maybe they'll get it. And then we'll be like, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I have no money for that. I can't go. You know, so you, then, you know, you got what you wanted, but then you don't even go. Because we had that same stuff as we had great people, like super fascinating people. And we still didn't have huge turnouts. We had good turnouts. We didn't have huge turnouts. And so you can't build this show and invest a ton of money and then have no one come. So you have to balance it where you're getting enough interesting guests and you're getting super cool vendors. You're keeping the cost to put on the show low enough that you can keep the entry low and low enough that your vendor fees aren't so high that they can't do it and can't make money off of it. Like, it is such a tightrope. So we need these smaller shows and we need people just to kind of, we need this all, this, you know, bubble to kind of burst. And I don't want to see shows die, but so many times you look and it doesn't take long to see, like, especially right now, the big shows are the oddities. Once upon a time, oddities shows were just like literal oddities. It was animals that had been, you know, denuded and were, you know, just bones and like stuffed animals and taxidermy and all these things. And, you know, things around that stuff. Now an oddities show is basically just a weird sort of horror show. And they're everywhere because that's the new fad, or oddity shows. And they're so big. And you can tell the people that are doing, you know, you can, looking at shows, you can tell the ones that are put on by people who are just, it's, they're trying to make as much money as possible. And again, there's nothing wrong with making money. Never has been. But it's when that's the only goal. It's not to do something cool in the community, not to be a part of the fandom or to, you know, do anything beyond making money. That's a huge problem to me. And I think that's where you run into so many problems, because they overbook guests or vendors. Like, they'll book too many vendors and they won't be able to have, no one will have legitimate space where they can feel comfortable, or they literally don't have space. Or there's shows, and we benefited from it, our last big convention, is there's shows that book all these celebrities and then don't have the money to pay them. And so celebrities are looking around like, where's my money? And I made sure, like, every end of every show, I went around to every person and I'm like, how much do we owe you? And I'd kind of go privately and I'd hand them whatever we still owed them, like, first, before we did anything else. Because I want them to feel like we respected them as professionals, and they don't have to come looking for us for money. And there's so many people that are just shady, and they're just trying to get as much money as possible from these shows. And that's a problem. And that's mainly with these giant ones, the small regional ones. I mean, people are throwing sketchos and everything. But people, like, I think people underestimate how hard these things are to do. They assume that there's going to be lots of them. Like, oh, well, I'm just going to keep doing this. And it's like, the thing is like, you lose people on your crew. You lose interest. You lose money. And it's so hard to keep doing it. It's hard to keep the drive up. Like, it's very frustrating. And, you know, you're building something, and it takes a while to build it. And unless you have super deep pockets, like, it gets even harder. But we need these small shows. We need these regional ones. We need stuff to support the independent filmmakers, the lower level vendors who are local artists and local, like, folks and smaller level who can't afford to do these big shows. We need stuff to, like, we need to support the indie filmmakers. Like, we need the B filmmakers. We need to support the B actors, like the cult actors. These are the people that are in the movies that, like, are legendary to us. You know, they're the ones that are, they're like, oh my gosh, that guy's in that other movie, in this movie, in that movie. And they may not be, like, the biggest name, but once in context, we're like, oh my gosh, that's so-and-so. That's awesome. And you'll find that some of those folks are some of the sweetest, most generous people you can meet, that they'll give you your time, you know, their time, and just talk with you. And they're so great. You know, had it not been for our conventions, I never would have gotten to know a bunch of amazing folks. And it's neat because I get to know them as people. It's just really fun. And I think there's a point where it's like we've lost the community aspect of these conventions, like that we are, you know, and it's a fractured community. We're all like everybody. There's factions. There's the Terror Fire people and the Freddy people. And there's like everybody kind of, we're such huge, this horror, like horror folks have such big mouths and big opinions. And it's, we've gotten to a point where you're right no matter what. And everybody else is wrong. And that's a problem. But I just feel like we need to get back to where, how these started, and about fandom and about fans and about celebrating the geekier side of life and this weird stuff that we all love, and let the big shows be the big shows. But man, and this heck of it is it comes down to fans as well. It's like showrunners need to make affordable shows, but fans need to support them. They need to support these regional and small shows, and they need to promote them, because if you don't, then they go away, and all we're going to have left are these giant shows who are going to, there's going to be no competition. So you'll be paying $100 at least per autograph for people that aren't even major names, but that's what the going rate is. And there's a lot of reasons that this all happened. You know, there was so much money in it that A-list celebrities started wanting to do these shows because they could make just bank and be treated really well. It's like a little mini working vacation. So the money was, you know, they knew that they could make the money. So that's another reason that all of that got bigger, is because they saw the money, and they got people who would never have thought of doing a convention before suddenly were like, I can make some time. Especially because they only got to do like a Saturday of a weekend or maybe part of Friday and Saturday or whatever, you know, like they don't have to do a whole weekend. But I just feel like we've lost something. And it's a drag. It's a drag because, you know, that connects us with what we love. And you find so much great stuff, so many great artists and authors, you know, indie authors. That's a great place to go to try to get your work out there. Like, it's speaking personally, you know, you don't want to waste money on a Google ad or this ad or that ad, because you don't know how many genuine people see it. And then if they see it, most of us are trained and now to just kind of disregard ads. So it has to be a heck of an ad to get you. And then even if you look at it, you don't know you're going to have a sale. So you're spending all this money with no sales. So at least at these shows, you can interact with people. You can sell the book yourself. They can see it. They can see you. And you may not make a ton of money, But if nothing else, it makes you feel like what you're doing is, you know, you're on the right path. And I just feel like without these small shows and these you know, kind of medium regional shows, because again, like, Cinema Wasteland is going to end someday. You know, as amazing as it is, like, I don't know that they're going to hand it down to someone else. Maybe we can hope, I guess, but then is it even going to be the same? And it's just, we need to support what we have and not let, much like everything else where we said, you know, shop your mom and pop shops and stuff. Like, yeah, there's a day going to come where we're going to turn around. Like, there's nothing but the big ones. And the sad thing is most fans aren't going to care because they're just going to want to go there, get their big celebrity. They're going to complain and still spend the money and get their big celebrity, you know, selfie that they can post on socials, and everybody will see it once, and then that's it. And they don't really have any memories of anything else. And it's just kind of like it's come and gone. You know, you don't make any connections with any celebrities. And again, like, I remember my wife and I went to a Comic-Con and oh my gosh, what's his name? Scott. Gosh, I can't think of his name. I spoke to an actor who had been in Walking Dead, and he was also in a William Peter Blatty movie, Twinkle Twinkle Killer Kane, or called The Ninth Configuration. And I told him, like, hey man, I love this movie. And he lit up, and he was, oh, that's a great movie, blah blah, you need to show it to your wife, it's great. Because I called out something that he loved that people don't know, you know, they just talk about Walking Dead, Scott Wilson. And those moments are what you remember. You know, and John Bernthal was at one, you know, one of the shows, maybe same year, and we met him, and my wife's going to get a picture. He's like, oh, no, mom, no, man, come on. And he called me over to get in the photo with her, you know, and didn't charge any extra or anything. He was just like, oh, man, come on. Super nice guy. And this is stuff you remember. And, you know, there's a point where it has to be about more than the money. And there has to be about more than just like, oh, hey, I got a selfie with so-and-so. Like, it's cool, but, like, it's about the memories and about some sort of a community. And as broken as the community is, it still sort of is. And I hope in some ways people keep getting inspired to do small shows because they're so hard, but they're so rewarding. And they're just, the memories you come away with, just will stay with you forever. And with that, friend, I will leave you. My name is Chris Ringler, your aforementioned Spooky Chris. You can find all of my podcasts, all of the links to my many books, links to my short films, and all of the interviews I've done at SpookyChris.com. And you can find all my podcasts on your least favorite podcasting app. I will speak with you soon. Take care.